This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, and thanks for joining us. We've got a great hour in front of you, so appreciate you joining us during your lunch hour as we talk local issues, local information, local ideas, local institutions. And we're going to start right off the top of the hour. We've got a guest coming on the phone. I've been out and about in the community the last couple of days. We've got some good fodder of things to talk about. And one of these things, I saw the city airports manager speak and tell some people about some of the things that some citizens in Salem, frankly, just don't even know about the airport that he manages. So I invited him on, and he's going to give you the skinny about so many things on the field that you probably didn't know. I want to welcome on the phone. We have airport manager John Pascal. John, you with us?
I am. Good afternoon, Dave and Brent.
Well, thank you. Hey, thanks for sharing your lunch hour with us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Appreciate the invite.
I thought, you know, I'm obviously well-versed in airport matters and the airport itself, but I thought your comments were really informative and really illustrative of the things that people don't know, right? The people's, and you started off with, and I'd invite you to share what kind of misconceptions you feel that you see out there in the community.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, is in my airport management career over the last 20 years, how little people generally know about airports. And typically what people do know is what they know when they fly out commercially. You know, I park here and I take the shuttle in and I go through TSA and I get on a plane and I go elsewhere. And if you can't do that out of Salem, which you can't do today, although we're hoping to change that in the near future, then folks really don't have a really good idea about what else is going on at the airport and what other users are there and what benefit is it to the community and why do I care about it and why should we invest in it and those sorts of things. And
those are good questions. Why should Salem care about that? So
the overarching answer is probably and the one I give more often than not is that airports are just a tremendous economic engine for a community that they are a part of. You know, financial analysis will tell you that a community with an airport is much more sound economically and financially than communities without airports, simply because of the business that's done either on the airport or by virtue of having the airport in the community, meaning the folks that fly in here and then use the facilities and the businesses in town. And so we generate a tremendous amount of economic value to the larger community just by virtue of Salem having its airport, you know, almost downtown.
Yeah, very close. So people, obviously, if they drive by at all, they should at least recognize we have a military presence.
We do. So the Oregon National Guard's Army Aviation Support Facility, that's essentially the air wing for the Oregon National Guard. It's different than the Oregon Air National Guard. It's the Army's helicopter wing that does primarily medical evacs and search and rescue. Generally, those are the folks that are called to go pluck hikers off of Mount Hood. They obviously do some other type things with the larger military when they're deployed overseas. But folks do see the base over there because it's kind of on the corner of Highway 22 and Turner Road. And so I've even had people ask me or tell me, I just thought that the airport was a military establishment and didn't realize all the other activities that happen here. So they are one of our airport users, one of our tenants for sure.
And we also get transient military use, I know.
We do, yeah. We actually have a lot of activity. So as the regular Army, primarily it's the Army. Occasionally we'll have the Navy or the Marine Corps come through. But generally, as the Army is transitioning helicopters from Joint Base Lewis-McChord up in Washington down to bases south of us down in California, we're actually a very popular stopover for fuel, food, and occasionally even overnight.
Oh, yeah. So we have to put a plug in for the flight deck restaurant because they're there in your field and it's a popular spot. It's nice to watch the aircraft get
come
like
and go. They like stopping in to see you.
Definitely a plug for the flight deck. They're one of our tenants as well. We've got a total of probably 130. This is another statistic people don't generally know. We have about 130 total tenants on the airport. combination of private hangar owners, obviously, but also several businesses, and the flight deck is one of those. And it is a popular spot for military transit, military traffic, for folks flying in from other airports, and even for the business jet traffic that comes through to do business in Salem. Oftentimes they'll eat at the flight deck because it's a great establishment and kind of a great location to have lunch in a place with floor-to-ceiling windows where you can look out over the airfield, and it's really a unique facility.
All right, so we you mentioned that's one corner of the airfield, and they might see the Army National Guard, you know, flight wing there. But to go around the whole thing, you go down Turner Road and Airway Drive and 25th Street, it's pretty big. How long is that runway, I think?
Well, so I'll give you some airfield statistics that are also of interest to people. The entire airfield is about 751 acres. It's really a big facility. We've got two runways. The longest of the two is over, well, they're both over a mile long. Actually, I guess one's just short of a mile. One is over a mile at 5,811 feet. That's our longest runway. And so we have two runways, and a whole slew of taxiways that connect those runways with the ramp areas and things. And so of the 750 acres, there's about 100 acres of paved surfaces out there. And if you were to equate that to a two-lane country road, that's roughly about 32 miles of two-lane road that we have to maintain and inspect every day and keep free of FOD and things that we don't want ingested into aircraft engines. And so there's a lot of space out there, a lot of pavement, obviously a lot of businesses we talked about. Right next to the National Guard is Garmin Aviation Technologies, and a lot of folks, they're familiar with the company name Garmin, but they don't realize that the Aviation Technology Division of Garmin is based right here at the Salem Airport. So all of the GPS equipment, transponders and things that are installed in primarily general aviation and business jet type aircraft are actually manufactured, installed here in Salem. And so they're a big employer here in town. I think they have over 500 employees.
Wow.
And they're based here simply because they need access to the airfield for all of the flight testing for all of their equipment.
Right. They do a lot of R&D here.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a call center here, so they employ a lot of people and have really invested in Salem. And and so in case that flew right by you, folks, he mentioned, yes, that he said FOD, and that is an aviation acronym. Isn't it foreign object debris or something?
Foreign object debris, right. It's anything on the runway that shouldn't be there that we don't want ingested into a jet engine or to be struck by a propeller.
You know what? Yeah, foreign object debris. You have to keep that completely off the field and all of those paved, asphalt.
And I'll tell you, I've been operating and managing airports for over 20 years now, and just yesterday we had a first for me, and we got a call from a business jet that was taxiing out, and they saw something on the runway. They thought it was a fish. They called the air traffic control tower. Our folks went out, and sure enough, there was a catfish on the runway that apparently must have been dropped by an Osprey or something that was going overhead, and so we have to go out and clear that off the runway because obviously we don't want aircraft to strike that animal. And so that was a new one to me.
Not happen very often. You mentioned being the air traffic control, and we do have a control tower. It's
right?
I think there's a fish on the runway. A fish.
Well, you know, so mentioning the air traffic control tower, other things that make Salem unique and also make us very popular to for the military, for transient business jets, is that we have an air traffic control tower, and we have a fire department here on the field that operates as an aviation-trained firefighter on staff 24 hours a day. And so a lot of operators won't operate into airports that either don't have a fire station or don't have an air traffic control tower, and we have both. And so we're really kind of uniquely positioned in the valley. And of course, we're a quasi-commercial service airport. We actually can have commercial service, and we do have a lot of charter activity that comes through and brings entertainers to the casinos or to the Oregon Jamboree. And so those operators like to use the Salem Airport because we have those safety components in place.
And the airfields are over a mile long.
Right.
That's long.
It's not long
by 747 standards, but it's...
Sure, they can land here.
It's longer than Orange County Airport.
Yes.
It is, yeah. So John Wayne Airport in Orange County, which is the primary airport for folks, you know, kind of traveling to Disneyland and the L.A. Basin, their runway is 100 feet shorter than our runway. And so I think a lot of misconception is that, well, gee, if we just had a longer runway, we'd have more flights or we'd have airline service or whatever. And really, that's not the case. For the level of commercial service we're likely to have here in Salem, primarily regional jets, maybe small commercial service aircraft like Airbuses or 737s, we're actually fully capable now of handling those aircraft, and we do, and we have in the past.
All right, we're talking to John Pascal. He's the airport manager for the City of Salem Airport, affectionately known as McNary Field. And John, if you'll stick with us for another segment, we'd like to go into a little bit more detail. You got a little more time?
I sure do.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to talk to John Pascal about what kinds of aircraft are using the airfield, where do they come from, and actually what kind of aircraft already live on the airfield in those 130 tenants. Stick with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Morin, and you are listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking Salem today. We're talking Salem Airport, getting rid of some misconceptions, a little bit of education about what this asset actually is out there and who uses it. On the phone with us today is our guest, John Pascal. He's the airport manager of McNary Field at the airport. So, John, welcome back.
Thank you.
And what I wanted to talk about is, you know, we started the last segment with people's misconceptions about McNary Field and the airport, if they even knew it, we have one, that it's not just military base and so forth. One of the misconceptions that some people have and like to spread around, this is just something that a few rich people benefit from. There's just a small percentage of population that care about this, and it's a big waste of time. We should turn it into affordable housing. 700 acres, I think you said, which approximately, isn't that about the size of Minto Brown Park?
751 acres here at the Salem Airport.
All right, so what kind of aircraft do people see when they look up? They hear a sound, or they look up and they see something's coming and going. What kind of aircraft are coming in? Yeah, McNary Field.
That's a great question, and you're absolutely right. I get that feedback a lot that, you know, if I've been at the Salem Airport as I drive by, it really doesn't look very busy. It doesn't look like there's much going on, and it kind of looks like a facility for rich guys and their airplanes. And so, you know, again, what does it matter to the community? And we talked in the last segment a little bit about the economic benefit of the airport. But in terms of who uses it, it's really an eclectic mix. I mean, we've got operators from obviously your locally based, small, privately owned general aviation aircraft. Most people refer to as Cessnas and Pipers and things like that. We talked a little bit about the Oregon National Guard across the way. We've got federal military. We talked about that a little bit. But we have air ambulances and life flights that use the airport, heavy lift helicopters that are on their way typically north-south. They'll stop for fuel and rest and food. Helicopters that fly north-south from oil fields. We've had them starting from Louisiana all the way up to Alaska, and they'll stop over here in Salem. We talked a little bit about having charters for the entertainment. So the airport being right at the corner of I-5 and Highway 22 makes us a great location for entertainment activity here, because it's easy to get on a bus and go out to either Spirit Mountain or Chinook Winds, or go north-south like to the Oregon Jamboree, and some of those charters would prefer to avoid PDX or Eugene. And we have a lot of business jet traffic, and I talked a little bit before about, you know, what that means to the community. And so some of the business jets that come in, I keep track of some of them, and they're companies that folks would recognize from all across the U.S. I mean, Scott's Miracle-Gro, based in Ohio, and Nestle Purina, based in Missouri, and Anheuser-Busch, based in Missouri. Boeing Corporation flies in regularly, Chevron Corporation, Union Pacific Railroad. And so these folks are doing business all across the United States, and they've obviously got business here in the Valley. And so they come in, they fly their business jets into the Salem Airport. They use the hotels and the food and the fuel and the rental cars and everything out in the community. And so it's a good chunk of our business. And over the past few years, we've seen aircraft operations increase steadily. Up until this past year, we've had over 40,000 aircraft operations coming through this airport. So it sometimes feels like a small town, sleepy airport. But when, you know, you're talking about 40,000 aircraft operations operating out of here every year, it's a pretty robust business that we run.
And as operations, you mean takeoffs and landings, or
an operation equivalent? Either a takeoff or a landing. So if you were to divide that in half, we're talking about 20,000 aircraft a year that use this field. And I would say that roughly half of those are what we call transient operators, meaning they're coming here and going to someplace else. They're not locally based, meaning flight training and those things. Those we call local, and then transient is from elsewhere. And so roughly 50-50. And so it's a busy place. Certainly have capacity opportunity for a lot more business. And with the economy getting better, we're starting to see more growth and more operations and more flight training and those types of things.
And we're going to cycle right back to what the future holds. But let's stick on that for a minute. The transient, I mean, when you talk economic development, a lot of times the definition of a traded sector job is money that comes into our area, right? And so every time someone flies from out of state and out of the region in here and drops money, that is bringing outside money into our economy.
It is.
It's just not
absolutely
recirculation
right.
of money that, that exists here. So, you know, use the example of the hospitality. And you mentioned Miracle-Gro. I remember they came in a few years ago, and it was kind of, you know, these people are very private, especially when it comes to business dealings, but they were in the process of investing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were buying an asset here in the Northwest in Oregon. And they were flying in to purchase and invest in Oregon, major
yeah.
company.
I think that people forget that, you know, Albany is a grass seed capital of the world, so it makes sense that Scotts Miracle-Gro would be interested in grass seed here in Oregon. In the last couple of years, we've seen an influx of business jets from wineries in California looking for property, looking to grow their business in wineries or vineyards here in Oregon that grow grapes that they don't grow down in California.
Everybody so wants the Willamette Valley. Come on
That's
now.
Right.
That's right.
That's we're talking to John Pascal, airport manager, McNary Field, also known as Salem's Airport. Are we still seeing like forest fire suppression helicopters or aircraft coming in? Or I know they used to even do Christmas tree harvesting. Some of them would come in a few.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Yep, I skipped right over those two. So typically this time of year, the Oregon Department of Forestry has a hangar here based at the airport with two or three aircraft that are based here year-round, primarily spotter-type aircraft. And then what they'll do is during fire season, they'll actually base another five or six either helicopters or fixed-wing air tankers here at the airport and just have them on standby should there be any like coast range fires or anything nearby the valley. Heavy lift helicopters, for sure. Christmas harvesting, obviously, you know, kind of between Thanksgiving and Christmas time, we get a lot of Christmas tree harvesting, around the area. And so those folks ramp up and get really busy that time of year. And so lots and lots of a long list of folks that use the airport that I think not a lot of people recognize.
I think a lot of people have that misconception of this is Cessnas and Pipers and there. And what makes me laugh is some of those aircraft are 50 and 60 years old,
mm-hmm.
and they're owned by blue-collar people who just right. love aviation, and that's their hobby. And they
right.
spend probably, I mean, it's not cheap to own an airplane, typically. It's a kind of expensive hobby, but so is golf.
Yes.
Right? So is skiing. So yeah. is...
skiing, yeah. I think, is more expensive.
Wow. So
yeah, it's true. And then we also have multi-million dollar business jets based at this airport. There are companies based here in Salem or based in the Valley, businesses that provide jobs that have their aircraft based at this airport, and they fly to their outlying businesses in other states, but they're based here in town. And so those are folks that are your neighbors and businesses here in the community.
Wow. So I'm hearing Cessnas and Pipers and military and like Life Flight. You mentioned that there are medical needs, right? Now Life Flight aircraft and also pretty decently expensive corporate jets, right?
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
Absolutely correct. There's a lot of activity out here, and I invite folks if they're interested in the airport or any information about it. I've got a ton of statistics. Happy to take people on tours. Obviously, we have to kind of limit the amount of people we can take out there at one time. We're very small staff and a very busy staff out here trying to maintain this facility and keep it up to federal aviation regulation standards, primarily so that we can have commercial flights at some point down the road when we get there. We want to be able to meet the federal requirements for commercial aircraft here at Salem Airport, and we do, and we've continued to do so since Delta left a decade or so ago. So we're looking forward to that happening with the community effort that's taking place now and trying to attract commercial air service.
I ran into somebody this morning who's new to the community, has his pilot's license, and he said, who do I hook up with to join a club and, you know, fly here in the Willamette Valley? Are people able to learn how to fly right here out of Salem?
They can. There's not a full-service flight school here in Salem, but there are some certified flight instructors on the field. And so they can go down to Salem Air Center and get more information there, or they can certainly call the airport and we can put them in touch with the right people. We have some folks that are looking at opening up like a full-service flight school and maybe even possibly an airframe and power plant mechanic-type school. And so I think, you know, there feels like with the economy now recovering that there's a lot of potential for growth here and new businesses moving on to the airport, and we're very excited about that too. And we've got a lot of property that we need to make development ready, and so we're putting a lot of time and energy and money into that now too, so that we can accommodate those requests for development.
So I look at the airport as its mini economic entity and the kinds of things that would keep it vibrant and sustainable. You have general aviation, that's kind of the things we're talking about, private aircraft. There's also freight businesses that fly in and out of airports. There's aviation related businesses, such as Garmin, that might be have an aviation related business that want to locate on the field and invest, right? And then commercial. So those are kind of. And I don't know if I've missed one, maybe military, but
military,
military freight, passenger, aviation, you know, related businesses and general aviation. If you had all of those activities, could we handle that and would that make that sustainable into ever more?
Oh, yeah, we absolutely can. We do now, for the most part, short of actual ticketed commercial service, which we are trying to attract, and we've got a lot of room for growth for more of that. This facility is very large, and I would call it underutilized. I think with the demographic shifts we're seeing with people moving in from other states into Oregon, with businesses relocating here and taking interest in our property and the abilities to develop, that we're going to see a lot of growth, and we've got the capacity to handle way more than what we have now. And so we're really excited for the future of this airport because there's not only room for growth, but we've invested primarily through federal grants, probably $15 million in this airport in the last decade or so, keeping the facilities up, rehabilitating the facilities. We did a terminal expansion. And so there's, you know, we're prepping ourselves to be able to handle the future growth.
One more question before I let you go, and you just played into it nicely.
Oh,
are you spending money or taking money that could be spent on the homeless and on parks and on potholes?
No, we do not. So the Salem Airport is what's called an enterprise fund. And what that means is that we generate all of our own revenue here at the airport, and that's primarily from the land leases, from the businesses and the hangar owners here. They pay the city a lease to put their property on city property. And then there's a little bit of money from fuel sales and from parking and other resources. But it's all generated here on the airport from airport users. And then that's all the money we have to spend on salaries and on infrastructure maintenance and those sorts of things. And so our capital improvements come typically from federal and state grants, and then we have a small match requirement there. And so we have to budget accordingly so that we save up enough money to do that. And so we don't take any general fund money or any money that's geared towards any other community-based efforts. It's all self-sustaining here at the Salem Airport. And so the more we can generate in future development, then the more services and better services we can provide. And so that's really kind of what our goal is now going forward.
Good job. I appreciate that. We're going to take a break. We've been talking to John Pascal, the airport manager for Canary Field, also known as Salem Airport. John, thanks for being with us. That was very, very good information, and you did dispel a lot of misconceptions, I bet.
Well, you are welcome. Thank you for having me.
Hope you still have time for lunch. Thank you to John Pascal.
Take care, gentlemen.
This is Newsmakers. I'm Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne. Stick with us because we're going to transfer our chat into something else having to do with our government here on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Can't believe it's Thursday already. This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Colored Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart. Thank you to the City of Salem for giving us John Pascal there for a couple of segments to talk about the airport. Knows his stuff, doesn't he?
Plethora of information.
So I hope that helped people understand really what's going on out there. And it's not just some mothballed playground for a few individuals. It's a huge economic driver and so many users that not just means economic activity, like in the case of Garmin hiring 500 people and doing their own R&D here.
Right.
I mean, that could be in that could be in Kansas, folks.
It could be anywhere.
Could easily be in Kansas, where a lot of Garmin is located.
Yeah.
But it's right here in Salem, Oregon. So we want to appreciate that when we have it. And also, of course, sometimes it's life and death. Sometimes it's forest fire. Sometimes it's life flight. Sometimes and military and readiness. And
sometimes
so
it's my Amazon package.
Sometimes, actually, yeah. Let's see, Amazon. We're hoping that they start to use us for freight. Obviously,
well, I would hope
open
so.
Up their distribution
only makes
center,
sense.
But,
it's right there.
Most of that stuff is coming in by truck. But we did. FedEx is located on the same airfield. We didn't even mention them, but they've got a small plane that arrives every single day.
See,
comes in and out of Salem.
I'm sure the USPS does too.
And we will have, before too long, we'll do a segment on commercial air service recruitment. And by commercial, we mean passenger.
Yeah.
Major air carrier to a major hub. We've talked about that a fair bit on Newsmakers, but we're still in the process of putting the last of our incentive package together because, frankly, once we are done with this last job of an incentive package and fully funding a fund to mitigate the risk of an airline taking a risk on a new location,
right,
there's nothing left but to turn all of our attention onto the airlines and say, we're done. The package is here. We've got the Oregon Department of Aviation
come
grant.
And get it.
We've got a marketing budget. We've got community support. And we have enough people. And then we're just going to turn our eyes to the airlines and all our community stuff will be done until we're advertising the new flights, right?
Nice.
All right. Keep in mind, folks, that could be as early as this fall, which is highly unlikely.
Oh, that would be exciting.
Next year, more possible.
Okay.
But it is a process, and we all have to mind our expectations that it could be 2 years from now. And if it's going to be longer than that, we're going to get tired and go home.
Yeah, right.
All right. Let's change the subject, shall we? So, because as I mentioned, I was out in the community a little bit the last couple of days. This morning, I got to tell you, if you're not a Chamber of Commerce member, think about joining. Write them a check for whatever the dues are, or go monthly and get involved. They do this public policy meeting once a month, and sometimes twice a month, depending on what's going on. But the one this morning was really great, a great panel. They had Chris Epley, city manager, City of Kaiser, mm-hmm. Steve Powers, city manager, City of Salem. They had both there. But wait, there's more. The CFO for the City of Salem's there. The CFO for Chemeketa Community College was there. Of course, Chemeketa Community College president Julie Huckestein was there, and she's been on Newsmakers.
Mm-hmm.
She's retiring, I think, at the end of this month.
We need to talk to her before she goes.
And Mike Wolf, who's the chief operations officer for Salem-Keizer School District, all on the front table.
Wow.
All talking about the impacts of PERS.
Mm.
What does it mean to us? What can we do about it? And what do we see happening in the next 2, 4, 6 years?
Okay.
Great presentation. So it's reason enough to be a member, but definitely plug into the public policy meetings. They do a great job in terms of informing us. If you want to show up, all that information is right there. I mean, where else are you going to get? What a collection of people. And they take Q&A. I had a couple of questions.
You did.
I may or may not have had a couple of questions. Anyway, great panel. We'll have to dive into this tomorrow as well. But right now, let's hit some highlights.
Oh, boy.
Some of the highlights and some of the most illustrative things happen during Q&A, you know?
They do, usually.
An open panel. And every now and then, you got somebody in the room who really has more of a statement than a question. You ever seen that happen?
All the time.
Let me ask you this question. It's like 4 minutes of pontificating followed by a one-sentence question. However, there were some really good questions and some observations. CPA in the room, he said, well, you know, this is all related. The PERS thing's related. Car dealer was there, and he said, this billion-dollar tax is hitting our industry unfairly, and this is that billion-dollar tax is related to the PERS deficit. And the CPA said, I am advising people, we, as professional advisors on their tax and their finances, are telling them before they sell a business, move to another state.
Wow.
Laid it out there just like that.
Dang.
And before you die, move to another state.
Wow.
And I've been saying this. I mean, in my circles, that's common knowledge. If you are a financial advisor giving estate planning, or a financial advisor or an attorney and a CPA, they're all saying what you want to do in Oregon is to get out. If you, when it comes to holding on to your state, I think, what did he say? 3 states west of the Mississippi have an estate tax, and we're one of them.
Wow.
So you can move to any of the borders around us and not pay estate tax. If you're worth $1 million or more, you have to pay Kate Brown. $1 million or more. Folks, if you are going to plan on retiring with owning your house outright and any decent-sized 401k, that's probably $1 million, right? And for a lot of people, it is. And maybe you have a life insurance policy. They count that, too. And Kate Brown's going to tax that.
Oh.
And it's just like, well, do you want 10 to 15, 16, 17% of what you own to go to the legislature? Or do you want to go to your kids and your grandkids?
Right.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. It has nothing to do with PERS right there. But for an, say, hey, by the way, this is our advice to people. And it's happening all over the state, right? another one came from two different realtors, one commercial, one residential.
Okay.
Residential said, my clients are talking about no longer wanting to buy an estate.
Really?
Or my clients want to now sell their house and move to another state. They've had enough.
Yikes.
That was interesting. Commercial real estate broker, Jeff Miller, by the way, he was saying, well, I've got clients, they're looking to buy income property, but they don't want to buy it in Oregon. They want to buy it in Idaho. They want to buy it in Wyoming. They wanted to buy it out of state. They do not want to invest here because of the tax environment.
Huh.
Because this tax and that tax, and because he can, well, what did we just tax? Corporate activities.
Yeah.
So you
just
are going to buy
corporate activity, basically.
So, okay, well, we're going to tax you. If you don't want it, folks, tax it.
It's sounding more and more like New York.
Yeah.
Right?
And Illinois, right?
And California.
So, all right. So some of the things having to do with PERS, Tim Nesbitt was there as well, and it was nice to have his perspective because he's got an interesting background. He worked for Governor Kulongoski. I think he worked some for Governor Kitzhaber as well, but he's involved with PERS Solutions for Public Services. It's an organization, and they were heavily pushing the passage of Senate Bill 1049, which recently did pass. We were talking about it on Newsmakers not long ago. But we really only touched on one of the aspects about it. That debt, that $26 billion, which represents the unfunded liability. That means
of PERS.
And the folks, the computation is really complicated. They have to guess how long people are going to live, how fast governments are going to grow, how many people that they're going to employ, what their average salaries are going to be, and all of these other things. Predict all of these things to find out that what the amount of money that they need to pay public employees' retirements now and into the future is short $26 billion.
Ouch.
What is not very reassuring is we're better than a lot of states.
What?
We're much better than a lot of states. That represents...
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, well, yeah. That represents about 78% of... we are fully funded, like 78%, when I think... the average pension, state pension plan in America is funded at about 75.
Mm.
So
we're not
a lot of
better.
States in much, much worse trouble. So according to Tim Nesbitt, the problem is, you know, a few years ago, you're talking about, you name it, folks. We're talking about Chemeket and the school district and the city of Salem and Marion County and so forth and all over the state. They were paying about 12 cents on the dollar, $12 on every hundred they have to put away in the employees' retirement. Well, that was moved to 20 today. In a couple of years, it'll be 25.
Ouch.
Chris Epley, here's some real numbers coming out of Kaiser. Chris Epley, by the way, does a great job. He's city manager in Kaiser, and the best hope Kaiser, I think, should have is that no one's going to hire him away.
Mm-hmm.
He was very frank, appreciated that, knows his stuff. So they just had to come up with $400 million. Kaiser, you know how big you are? You're not very big. You got 35,000 people plus or minus, right? That is a lot of money to come out of a general fund. And where do you do it? The only way to cut it is to cut staff.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody kind of echoed the same thing. Teachers from the school district, professors, and employees at community college. But Chris Epley from Kaiser said right now we had to add $400,000. To our budget. 2 years from now, we are going to need to add another $380,000.
Wow.
2 years after that, another $400,000. And it's not one time. It's $400,000 now moving forward. And then they're going to have to jump up in 2 years. The next biennium budgets is how this thing is scheduled. So in the next biennium, they're expected to continue with this additional $400,000 plus an additional $380,000. And 2 years from there, an additional $400,000 plus $300,000 plus $480,000. So you're talking... $1 billion. $400,000 million.
Million.
Over $1 million. In the next 4 years, you're going to have to fabricate it. And that's going to cost a lot of people that you have to cut to pay for them. 400,000, that's probably three or four people. And what kind of people does Kaiser employ? Police officers.
Right.
Right. And it wasn't a threat or anything. It's just this is the way it gets funded. This is the way it gets budgeted. More on that tomorrow because we're going to transition. We're going to talk about a fun thing here in Kaiser having to do with the Special Olympics. So we're going to finish up your noon hour talking about a 5K run since we're all in summer shape. Right.
Yeah. Right.
All right. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne. Stick with us. We're going to be right back on 1430 KYKN Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Sponsored by Hamblin's Nursery. Thank you, Hamblin's Nursery, for sponsoring our segment. This is Brent DeHart. We are back here on Newsmakers. Fun thing in the studio. We welcoming Sue Hill from the Special Olympics and Dorothy Deal from Kaiser Police talking about their event coming up. There's always, in summertime, there's always a great event coming up and an opportunity to do something fun and beneficial both. So, Dorothy, let's start with you. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much.
Nice to have you here. So you're with the Kaiser Police.
I am, right? And we're so appreciative that you're having us on the show to be able to share this event with your listeners. So thank you so much.
How long have you been with the police there?
So I have been with the police department for about 2.5 years now in a support role.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I noticed I'm looking at your shirt and it says community outreach.
Correct, yeah.
So awesome. Thank you for being here and reaching out to the community.
Thank you.
Because that's what we like to do here. So there's an event coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It's at Kaiser and it benefits the Special Olympics.
It does. It's called the 5K Foot Pursuit.
Oh, fun.
And so it's primarily kind of billed as a run walk event. That's the fundraising portion of the event. But there's so much more to the foot pursuit than just the running and walking. We're going to have a lot of police vehicles out there, lots of cops for people to mingle with. You'll get a chance to meet some Special Olympics athletes and learn about their programs. Fire department will be there, inflatable obstacle course, rock painting, face painting, all of those fun things that you want to go do with your family out at the park in the summer.
Great. All right. So tell us when and where.
Okay. So it is July 27th. That's a Saturday. And it's at Kaiser Rapids Park here in Kaiser. And anyone can show up and come hang out and, you know, cheer on the runners on that day. We'll have a certain number of free hot dogs. So if you come early and get in line, those are first come, first serve.
Wow.
So anyone can show up on that day. If you want to be part of the 5K run walk, you need to sign up at runsignup.com. And you can, if you want to get a t-shirt, you've got to sign up by July 12th. We have to get the t-shirt order in. So by July 12th, if you want a t-shirt, but the sooner the better, because we would love to know how many people we can expect, and we hope it's a lot.
Right, and have the right number of t-shirts, right?
Yep.
I've got so many t-shirts in my drawer from the different events, and I love it. You never have to go to the store or anything, just go participate. What's the cost to participate?
So if you sign up in the month of June, you still have a little bit of time, you can sign up for $17. If you wait until after July 1st, it goes up to $25.
Okay. So this money, let's talk about a little bit about money. You're going to have this event, and Kaiser Police are heavily involved, of course.
Yes.
They do. I know there are a lot of police jurisdictions that are heavily involved in Special Olympics. But this is a fundraiser, right?
It is.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
So you are helping and creating this event and diving on in so Sue Hill's organization with the Special Olympics can benefit. Sue, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
All right, Special Olympics in Salem, Kaiser. So tell us about it.
We have a pretty big program here. We have over 400 athletes. We have 10 sports that we offer year-round for our athletes.
Wow.
At no cost to our athletes. So
400 local athletes.
Correct.
And no cost to them and year-round.
Right.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So where do your funds come from? And this is local kind of fundraising, right?
Right.
And benefactors.
Just from fundraising and donations.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what is your role with the Special Olympics?
I am the sports manager here in Marion County.
Sports manager.
Yeah.
That sounds so cool. So your job to whip everybody up into shape and make sure that they're serving those kids as best they can, right?
Right.
So
that's
what kind of athletes, when you say athletes, what age ranges?
Age range 8 years old to no top end.
Really?
As long as they can participate safely, they can be there.
Okay, mm-hmm. Tell us about some of the sports.
Oh, man. Well, right now we're in summer season, and we have four sports that are happening right now. Bocce, track, softball, and golf.
Wow, fun. You have bocce.
Bocce. I am the bocce coach.
Are you?
It rocks.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to spend some time together.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a friend who literally built a bocce, what do you call it?
Court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in his front yard. So
that's dedication.
Yeah, that's he's going all in on bocce. So that's cool.
Awesome.
Four current sports. Mm-hmm. So this kind of event, we're going to want a big tournament. Mm-hmm. And of course, you can pay $17. You get a t-shirt for the $17?
You do, yes. You get a t-shirt that was actually designed by a McNary student who's in the computer graphics program there. So that was really fun to work with that classroom. And see all the designs that they came up with. Of course, we could only pick one, and it was very hard.
So please tell me there's opportunities to give you more than $17.
Absolutely.
Okay. How do we do that?
Definitely. There are opportunities when you go on to runsignup.com. Uh-huh. You can register for the run, or you can simply donate some money to the cause. If you're going to be off on vacation that weekend, but you want to be part of this event, you can certainly support us that way. And the other thing that we really need from our community is volunteers. Mm. And so you can go to that same runsignup.com website, look for the 5K Foot Pursuit in Kaiser, and you can register as a volunteer. And it lists all the different categories and time frames, and you can pick just exactly what you're comfortable doing and come help out.
Do you get to run the 5K with a police officer in full uniform with all your guns and the belt and the vest on and boots and chasing you?
I think he might actually be out in front as a leader.
Okay. That sounds like a foot. That is very clever, the 5K Foot Pursuit. And you think if I come out, I should like have cat burglar outfits on? Can we do it in like masks? And
absolutely.
Stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Costumes are encouraged.
Encouraged, yeah.
That's great. Well, I want to make sure the Special Olympics make some money. You know, it's like for $17, if I eat your hot dog and get a free t-shirt, I'm going to feel guilty. But for those people who want to spend that morning gardening, sleeping, watching sports, they don't have to feel guilty, and they don't want to do the 5K. They can just go to runsignup.com and make a donation.
That's right.
What about at the event? You said there are other things like painting and hot dogs and so forth. Will there be booths for more information or more gifting?
So there will be opportunities to donate at the event if that's something that people want to do. And then there will also be opportunities to continue donating after the event as well.
All right, Dorothy, real quickly, what does this kind of fundraiser and community activity mean to your organization?
It's incredible. Sue didn't bring this up, but I'd like to point out that Sue is the mother of a very special Special Olympics athlete that we have just fallen in love with named Jenny. And she has been a big inspiration for us in planning this event. So we're very excited that we have this opportunity.
Sue Hill and her athlete, Jenny.
Yes.
Right? So these kind of funds will be invaluable in service to these athletes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That is so terrific. 400 athletes in just our area.
Yes.
Just
and
our
we,
area.
And we really only skim the surface of the number of athletes.
All right. You got about 15 seconds. Sue Hill, tell us again the time, the date, and how to sign up. There it is.
There it is. July 27th. And sign up at, where is it?
Runsignup.com.
Find the Kaiser PD 5K Foot Pursuit.
All right, July 12th. Sign up by then. Save some money. This is Brent DeHart for Newsmakers. Dave Bourne, let's do this again tomorrow on 1430 KYKM.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group Studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.